Welcome along. It's Alan Brazil up front.
It's the Porkmeister. Yes!
He is losing the plot.
No, I'm not losing the plot.
Alan Brazil up front.
Exclusively on Audio Boom.
Can City do it? Look, City, if they turn up.
City are going to get
If they turn up, you numpty.
Hang on.
What are you talking about? Hello and welcome to Up Front with Brazil. I'm old mucker Porky Parry, still alive.
How are you, pal? Yeah, in good shape, mate. And I tell you what, we're getting now right to that, you know, pinpoint end of the season where things are going to happen.
Well, they are. We're going to look at all sorts today. We're going to look at down the bottom. We're going to look at the playoffs coming up, which is fantastic. But we have to start at Newcastle United.
Yeah.
What the heck is going on there?
Well, it's a basket case. The point is, Newcastle United, with their resources, with their hinterland, remember, Newcastle is a one-club city. Not like Sheffield, not like Liverpool or Manchester.
Or Glasgow,
quite right, absolutely. Or even Bristol.
Or Liverpool,
but Bristol's a disgrace. It's got two clubs that never do anything, never get anywhere.
Don't start talking about merging them again.
No, whatever. But
City,
what
by the way, just calm down. City have just been promoted, okay?
Yes, I know that. But they've been promoted from being like in a bum division to a lesser bum division. What I'm saying is...
That's terrible.
What I'm saying is Newcastle United are up there, could be real challengers, as they were under Kevin Keegan, for the very top place. And do you know what?
Bobby Robson?
And Bobby
European
Robson.
European football?
Sir Bobby Robson, Al, your former boss there, the day that he was told that he was no longer wanted, and he walked out of that club with a golf club in his hand and got into the back of a car and was driven off into the ether, was another disgraceful moment
in that
club's history.
I only played up there once, and that was for Coventry City. Because when I was at Ipswich, Tottenham, Man United, Newcastle were down. But I did play up there, did score. I was up front with Cyril Regis, and a young man scored a hat-trick to defeat us 3-2, and we didn't deserve to get beat.
Yeah.
Peter Beardsley,
that's right.
What a player.
He was a fantastic player and a great, great friend, Peter. But you did make another appearance up at Newcastle United, Al. Well, I'll tell you exactly when. When England were on the road after Wembley shut down, they played a game up at Newcastle. We went up there, and the guest of honour, of course, was the England manager, Sir Bobby Robson, the former England manager.
He
walks into the banqueting suite where we are, and he's marching forward in a group of people. He spots you on your left. Of course, he was your boss at Ipswich. He stops everybody, walks over, and says, "Hey, son, when you're in company like this, where's your tie?" You were the only man in the room, didn't have a tie.
I was 44 years of age.
I know, but you still said to him, "Oh, I'm sorry, boss, like a little boy. I'll wear a tie next time.
But as usual, you didn't tell me the dress code, whatever.
Well,
so I blame you.
Yeah.
But look, Newcastle's a massive club. You're dead right.
Can they still go down?
Yeah, they can go down, Mike. I'm sorry, they can.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunderland and Hull, look, QPR Burnley are down. I'm sorry. They're down. Sunderland and Hull are the dangers. I think Leicester are going to get out of it. But you look at Newcastle and Villa, by the way, if things went wrong, Villa are not safe either.
Al, if my team Everton had not lost to Villa last weekend and we're on a run of winning 5 out of 6 games and I expected Everton to win, Villa would now be below the line. That's how close Villa are.
Well, look, Newcastle, for me, 1 point is probably enough. The goal difference is terrible. That's what worries me.
Yeah.
And I think I watched that Sunderland-Newcastle big game over at Sunderland Stadium of Light. And they did not turn up until the last 10 minutes they started playing for that badge. And I'm not a Newcastle fan, and I was watching saying, this is a disgrace. That's why John Carver, that's why John got the hump, and that's why he exploded. We know there was a problem in the dressing room, and this is what John had to say about it. But this, you don't often get this from a manager. This is a man frustrated, under pressure, but also this is the voice of a fan, a Newcastle United fan.
Absolutely extraordinary.
I thought he meant it. When I was standing in the technical area and the ball went onto that left-hand side after already having a caution, my first reaction 5 yards before he made the tackle was, don't do it, and he did it. The guys, I think it was Vardy's off the pitch. I think Willow's off the pitch. I think the ball's off the pitch. There's no need to do it, and I'm not accepting that. I'm not accepting that, especially the situation we're in. And what I can't do is I can't give players desire to go and get a broken nose or get a cut on their eye by trying to head the ball. I can't give anybody that. I wish I could be on there because I'd do that, but I can't do that. So I can't affect when we're marking it separately. Yeah, we can get them in the right areas, but if you're not prepared to get on it and do something about it, both ends, like their back three did and the rest of the team did, then we've got a problem.
You see, there you go. There's a man, frustrated, a supporter.
Yeah.
He's got his dream job, a big chance. and those players are not playing for him or the fans.
But he's on the edge, Al. And the extraordinary claim for a manager that Williamson, the player he's talking about, literally got himself sent off. Presumably, one can only presume, so that he doesn't have to play two of the three games left in Newcastle's season and be associated with the, you know, the ignominy of relegation.
Williamson took out Vardy. You could see he was going to do it.
He's way over the line.
Vardy, they're a bit lippy. And obviously, this has been going on during the game.
Sure.
But listen, no excuses. Bang out of order. It was a bit like Joey Barton. Do you remember 2 years ago, City? QPR up at City, he gets sent off.
Yeah.
You know, what a tube. Yeah. What an idiot. Why do you do that?
It's the red mist. Tell me this, just to move on now. Was Steve McLaren right to turn this massive club down?
Well, there's no doubt about it. Derby County, a massive disappointment not making the playoffs, and we'll come to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But Derby's a good club. Good owners, really well-positioned. New stadium, beautiful. I think if he'd have got Derby up, he would have had to stay. When Derby missed the playoffs, I thought, uh-oh, he's going to Newcastle.
Yeah.
So it just shows you how much turmoil they're in and what Mr. Ashley is not doing with the football club. Steve has said, no, I'm staying at County.
You know, the amazing thing, Al, is it's all about the relationship a manager has with the chairman. Mike Ashley's chairman and owner. You had a great relationship with your chairman at Ipswich, didn't you?
Yeah, the Cobolds were fantastic.
Didn't you tell me on one occasion at the end of the season, when you took off an end-of-season tour, that you actually got on so well with the chairman that the booze on the plane taking you out to the Caribbean for the tour ran out a third of the way into the journey?
You're almost there, Porky, but as usual, you get things mixed up.
Oh, yeah?
It was the way home from a pre-season tour.
Oh, I see.
And I tell how long ago it was the Pan Am tournament, right? Pan Am.
Yeah.
And we were in Florida. What a trip to go pre-season, can you believe it?
Lovely.
That was Ipswich. San Paolo, Fort Lauderdale Strikers, Tampa Bay Rowdies, Ipswich Town. And we had a blast. We
this
had a ball.
Pre-season?
Pre-season.
You were supposed to be getting more fit,
correct,
not less fit.
Correct. It was one of the best pre-seasons I've ever, in fact, was the best. And on the way home, I stood. By the way, we're up the spiral staircase. We were first class. And I came back all the way from Tampa International to Heathrow with the two brothers, the Cobble brothers, and we were just drinking and chatting. It was fantastic.
And they were the owners of the club.
And we had a great season that year. We finished second.
Absolute disgrace.
So it can happen. What about this weekend?
Well,
right,
exactly.
Back to Newcastle, sorry.
Yeah.
West Brom, Tony Pulis, went back to Palace, his old club, beat them.
Yeah.
Will he go to Newcastle United and will he put the sword in Newcastle's heart?
Oh, certainly. I mean, there's no way back for Newcastle now. Coloccini during the week, you know, the captain of Newcastle, issuing a letter, which he didn't even tell the manager about. Saying,
Coloccini.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you what, he used to throw people at him out the way to get into a fight.
Right.
Talk about heart and fight.
Yeah,
it's not for
not
me.
There.
Not
but,
for
but
me.
I can't see Newcastle getting another point now to the end of the season. I really can't. I think they're broken. The spirit's broken. The team's broken. The very idea that they're a united football team. You know what I'm talking about, Al?
Yeah.
You played in that great team with Johnny Walk and BT and those people. Surely the sense of togetherness was a huge factor in your
Without
success there.
Anyway, we went. I just I don't want to harp on about Ipswich all the time because we're going to come to that in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But when we won the UEFA Cup in 81, I remember it was a battle in Czechoslovakia, right, in Poland. And then we went to San Etienne, Platini, Larios, Dominic Rochetu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had to stand up. And then the semi-final, Cologne, what a side they had. We beat them home and away. And the final, we were on our knees. We were cream-crackered.
Have you ever seen the cathedral?
And we won
Cologne?
It. Yeah, we were there. We'd
it's
done
brilliant.
The lot. We'd done the lot.
Do you know, it was amazing. It was amazing how the RAF missed that cathedral in Cologne when they did the city.
I don't start talking about wars.
No, I think it must
be. We'll come to Ipswich Norwich in a moment.
I think it must have been God's will.
What about, right, the other games, one big game we must talk about, Hull against Burnley.
Indeed.
Stevie Bruce, he has to win this game.
Well, he
if
will.
If he doesn't win it,
big
trouble. Hull, if they don't win it, I think Hull could go.
Hull will win it because Burnley have gone, in my view.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that the manager will ever give up. He'll never give up.
No.
He's great, the old
Dyche. Sean Dyche, Burnley.
Manager. But I think his players have realised now the game's up.
But he's all right, he is, Sean.
Oh,
you're
I totally
right.
agree. I love that voice of his.
Playoffs,
well.
Right? Playoffs.
I smoke 40 fags a day, but he doesn't, of course. Yeah.
Well, why'd you say that? Then?
Well, it sounds like a voice of a smoker. But he's a non-smoker.
I'm at Portman Road Saturday. Can't wait.
Oh,
Ipswich,
really?
Norwich.
Oh, have you greased yourself into the director's box?
Director's box, of course.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah. Who's your host?
I was sold for 500 grand, so they can do that for me now and again.
Yeah.
Ipswich Norwich. Norwich, big favourites. They're the favourites to go up from the playoffs. And normally the favourites fail. Bournemouth are coming in. Bournemouth up. Brentford are coming into it. on a Rich Vemma form. Yeah. They can't believe they're in, but Ipswich can't believe we're in. We can't believe we're in.
No.
We lost the last game of the season and we made it in. That's why I think we're going to beat Norwich City on Saturday. By the way, Carrow Road's different. It's a real tough game, but I think we can go there with a lead. I really, really do. I'll tell you some great games there. I remember playing Portman Road. Duncan Forbes, you remember him? The big jock at the
certainly
back.
Do.
He was hard as they come. Justin Fashioner, God bless him. I remember him playing in Derby's Whipsies. And it's not you keep talking about Everton Liverpool. Let me tell you, the old Tractor Derby, the East Anglian Derby, is fierce.
Oh, I know.
I scored four against them at Carrow Road once in the youth team, and that was a battle. And then I remember scoring a smashing goal, cutting from the left, went past Kevin Bond, and then went past another. And with my right foot, I used to stand up with that, somehow curled one in past Kevin Keelan. So it's going to be really tight. I can't wait. And I think we might just take a lead to the return down to Norwich.
It's terrific trying to work out, you know, the odds on the teams who finish third, fourth, fifth and sixth. For instance,
form normally goes out the window,
Mike. Yeah, form normally goes out the window. For instance, people forget years ago, Al, when it was only the top two plus two others, Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest just crept into the last qualifying place in what was then the second division to get to the first, and won the first division the following season, and won the European Cup the season
Can
after
I say
that?
As well, the two managers, Mick McCarthy, with no budget, has done brilliant to get us in, and Alex Neil, who came down from Hamilton, I'd never heard of him. What a good job he's done as well. So well done. By the way, what about the other one? Borough. Now, they're the strong favourites. Yeah. But Brentford, who have basically said to the manager, end of the season, goodbye.
Yeah.
Can you imagine he gets them in the Premier League and he has to leave? It's bonkers.
It is unbelievable. And he's so gracious about it now. You know, he keeps talking about, well, you know, I hope the club moves on. But you see, the thing is, Al, I'm a bit old-fashioned. I do not believe that Brentford...
No, you're old.
No, excuse me, old-fashioned, if you don't mind. You know, I won't have ageism in this studio. I think Brentford, a bit like Bournemouth, they have to ask themselves, do they really have the facilities and the wherewithal to be in the Premier League? It is ridiculous to think that a team as mighty as Manchester United or Liverpool or Everton should go and play at Brentford.
Harry Redknapp
used to be the place where Young's Bitter had a brewery where they brewed beer. That's what
Harry
it's famous
Redknapp,
for.
We're going to talk Bournemouth in a minute, but Harry talked to me on the breakfast show a few weeks ago about Bournemouth and Brentford. He said, listen, don't underestimate them. And Brentford, to come in and do what they've done, is sensational.
It is sensational.
And by the way,
there's some
richness behind them as well.
Well, yeah,
make
okay.
no mistake,
okay.
if they get up, and I think they've got a chance, I really do, if they get up, there's money behind them.
You can't buy glory. You can't buy heritage.
You can buy glory.
You can buy...
Blackburn Rovers bought glory. Under Dalglish, they won the Premiership.
You can buy temporary achievement. You can't buy glory. Glory is having a heritage, a history, a deep well of looking back at what your club has achieved.
Now,
Brentford shouldn't be there.
Well, this is the FA Cup.
I'm a football snob.
Man United against Liverpool or Arsenal against Chelsea.
No.
That's the beauty, the romance of the Cup. Now, Mr. Parry, you're not going away. You're not going away without talking Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Eddie Howe, brilliant. I tell you what we'll do. Let's hear from the chairman about Bournemouth. What a success story this is. This is fantastic. Let's hear from Jeff Mostyn.
You know, it is an absolute dream come true, from the abyss in the second division to the Premier League. These guys are just incredible. Eddie has created a siege mentality. Forgive me for being out of breath here. And the boys have carried themselves up, you know, four divisions against all the odds. They are just magnificent. And I'm just so thrilled for everybody here tonight. But a special word for Maxim Demin, our owner, because without his incredible dedication, commitment, loyalty and investment, we would never be able to take the club to these incredible heights. Well, the manager, I've always said, just has an insatiable appetite, you know, to self-development, to develop the team. He has a loyalty and a commitment. He's calm and collected. You saw tonight the difference between the two managers on the pitch.
Fantastic, amazing. Jeff Mostyn there, the Bournemouth chairman. And Eddie, what about Eddie Howe? Listen, Harry Redknapp came on the Sports
Astonishing
Breakfast.
Man.
Harry Redknapp told me, Alan, they're the best side in the league. I watched them at Portman Road. I went there sat in the director's box. Yeah. And we give them a game. Don't get me wrong.
Do you ever sit like anywhere else, by the way, at Portman Road?
Well, I sometimes stand with Warkey. I have a couple of beers behind Churchman Stand, which you won't know what that means.
Yeah.
And we watch the game from there, behind the goal.
Yeah.
But I did sit with the Bournemouth lot and the Ipswich directors. And they play great football. I really like the boy Wilson up front for them. Scored a barrel load of goals. Mm. Now they're going to have to. It's interesting now. What does Eddie do? Does he go into the Premiership with loyalty, or does he say, "Look, thanks guys, you've done brilliant, but I'm bringing six players in,
yeah.
and we'll see who does well in pre-season."
He has to, doesn't he? If he's a professional manager, well, he's got to put sentiment aside.
It's like some will spend the vast amounts of money they've got right away. Others wait. Till 3 months, say now spend it.
There's a misnomer there about the money. You don't get the money, you know, till the end of the season, till it's all been played.
Sorry, have you never heard of going to the bank saying, "I've got this coming.
I totally
can I borrow
agree.
Some?"
Well, they've got a very.
I forget you don't borrow any money, do you?
I borrow when necessary.
Old long pockets and tight and short arms.
Hey, prudence.
Well, it's Welsh, being Welsh. But, I don't blame you.
No, but they've got a very rich Russian owner anyway. So all I'm saying is that, you know, if Eddie now wants to complete the dream, he's got to keep Bournemouth up next season. An incredibly difficult job when you're playing in front of 12,000 fans and you've got to give 2,000 those seats away
and
to visiting fans.
What's incredibly hard, is to jump off Bournemouth Pier.
So you think
you're getting away with it?
No, I'm not getting away
with it. I'll say again to our listeners, Parry said a few months ago, if Bournemouth get up, I will jump off Bournemouth Pier.
I did.
At high tide.
The problem is that there are just a couple of problems to remind our listeners that I do not back out of my commitments, right?
Well, when you're doing it?
Well, first of all, I was down in Bournemouth last weekend because my family lived there. My mother is 83 years of age.
Nothing to do with that.
She's frightened of me jumping off the
There's
pier.
There's nothing
That's
wrong
point
with
one.
Her. No, no,
point,
no.
Point two, there are signs all up and down Bournemouth Pier because I went to have a look saying, "You must not jump off this pier," right? And point three, as only one third of my heart works, and I'm a desperately ill man.
No,
I don't smoke. I don't smoke, Al. It's a congenital heart disease. My doctors tell me it
Booze
could be fatal.
Fags.
It could be fatal.
Listen, if you're enjoying this, please get in touch. Get in touch with Mike and I by emailing Brazil@audioboom.com. Brazil@audioboom.com. I love this. It's great. A little half an hour chat.
Well, listen, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make people enjoy football as much as we do and you do. Now, if you don't mind me saying this, Al,
yes,
your excesses sometimes in football shouldn't be forgiven. And as the massive game in the playoffs is
going to be... Stop reading off that paper.
I'm not
Doing
reading
natural.
Off the papers. I'm just saying that as it's Ipswich-Norwich and Norwich-Ipswich, it is a massive moment for East Anglia, which, if you don't mind me saying, you managed to elevate from a bit of a football wilderness, a bit of a barren land...
A barren land. When was the last time Everton won something?
Hang on. A barren land into a major footballing force, but...
78 FA Cup, 81 UEFA Cup. Runners up in the league twice. When was the last time Everton came second in the league?
Al, the thing is, in a season when you should have got it all, you finished second in everything except the UEFA Cup. Shouldn't you have done one better?
Beat Villa three times that year. But they went on to win the league and win the Champions Cup the following year.
Yeah, absolutely. They won what
was... Talk about the Villa. Quick one on the Cup final. Villa are not safe yet. They're on the same points as Newcastle.
Yep.
Better goal difference. So I think Villa will get at least one or two... more points. Pardon me. So they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But Villa, can they trouble Arsenal in the final? They can.
No, they can't.
They can.
No, they can't, not in any way. Do you know why? Because, unfortunately, Arsenal went through that League Cup experience of about 3 years ago, wasn't
Birmingham.
It? When Birmingham beat them. Birmingham
Alex
got relegated
McLeish,
in the same season. First of all, because I know an awful lot about psychoanalysis and psychology. Yes, I do. History cannot repeat itself.
He watches Frasier at night. That's the only thing he knows about.
No. I read deeply, you know, unlike you, just, takes a piece
you
of
mean
information.
Natural ability, straight off your head.
That's right. All I'm saying is, Arsenal have suffered that ignominious defeat against a team that went down in the League Cup final. It won't happen in the FA Cup final. By the way, Villa shouldn't be there. And what happens is...
What do you mean they shouldn't
be there? Well, they shouldn't
be there.
They shouldn't be there. Don't you remember, years ago, maybe I've got a better memory than you have, Alan Clark in those days played for Leicester City. And Leicester City played in the FA Cup final. Manchester City beat them 1-0. Leicester went down. What happened? Alan Clark got transferred to Leeds United and became one of the outstanding strikers.
Alongside who?
Mick Jones.
Well done.
Thank you very much. And that was the Lorimer. I'm trying to think of the other great. Billy Bremner.
I do detect 1970.
Yeah, yeah.
When Leeds were the best team in the world, I reckon, and Celtic beat them home and away, semi-final, European Cup. I was there, Hampden Park, 140,000. You were saying?
And guess who won the league in England that year?
Oh, was it Everton? By any chance?
Thank you very much indeed, 1970. But the thing is, Al, when we get to this stage of the season now, so much of what happens, and you must know this because, you know, you're talking about getting to the end of a season, two or three games left, win things, not win things. How much relies on the quality and the character of the individual players to put up with the pressure that they haven't felt earlier in the season?
Well, let me say this now, and this could be a little bit controversial, but I'm going to say it. Mm. When down there in a battle, right, and I look at Newcastle, you want British hearts, with the greatest respect. And I hope I'm not upsetting foreign listeners. You want battlers, big hearts,
so you don't
that
want
understand what it means to the fans to stay in the Premiership.
So you don't want continental hearts?
I think Newcastle get too many foreigners.
You think Newcastle got too many foreigners?
For this battle.
The problem was, didn't they import too many French players at a time when they had a deal with all the French clubs? And then they had a...
Yeah, they had, and they had great success to begin with, didn't they?
And they had a director of football who thought he knew what he was doing and was bringing all these people in. Right, very quickly, I'm going to run through these for this weekend.
Go on, then.
Tell me what's going to happen. Everton-Sunderland, I think Everton absolutely bang on 3 points.
Yes, Sunderland will fight for their lives, so it won't be easy, mate. I go with you. A go home win. Villa, West Ham.
Yeah.
Big Sam. Look, West Ham are still top 10.
Yeah.
And yet he's going to go. And by the way, his last game of the season is West Ham travel to Newcastle, his old club.
That's absolutely right. West Ham.
Villa, West Ham. I'm going to go. I've got a bad feeling about this, but I'm going to go a Villa win because I think Benteke's in great form.
I'm definitely going for a Villa win on the basis of Benteke, on the basis that they're going to the cup final, on the basis West Ham players are all lying on the beach in Mallorca.
Hull, Burnley, Hull have to win.
Yeah.
They will win. It's going to be tight.
I don't think
2-1,
so.
2-1, win.
Burnley, 1-0 away.
Rubbish.
1-0
nonsense.
Away at Hull.
Leicester, Southampton, yeah. Big game, draw.
Yeah.
Southampton are still a good side.
No, I see Leicester winning that because they're on a roll. Leicester, 3-1.
Newcastle, West Brom.
West Brom, 2-0.
No, West Brom
2-0.
I'm going to go 1-1.
No, Newcastle
I'll go
won't,
1-1.
Newcastle won't get another point this season.
1-1.
Honestly. Yeah.
Stoke-Tottenham.
Yeah, Stoke-Tottenham is going to be Stoke 2, Tottenham 1. Because Tottenham have fizzled out as well.
I spoke to Charlie the other day.
Charlie Austin?
No, he's QPI, you numpty.
Charlie?
You know Charlie.
Charlie. Yeah, I'm Charlie from Stoke. Yeah, yeah, we know Charlie. He's our mate.
Stoke-Tottenham.
Charlie Adam.
Yeah, lovely guy, by the way. I mean, nice lovely guy.
Yeah.
Charlie, he was gutted Swansea beat them. I think Stoke will give Tottenham a hard game. Mm. I'm going to go 2-1 Stoke.
Yeah, I am as well.
Yeah,
I just
sure.
That to you. I just said that to you.
Palace, Man United.
Yeah, very interesting. I tell you what, I think Palace have fizzled out as well after the Pardew thing. I think United will have to regain their mojo. They've lost their last three games.
As we speak, I think they're about to sign Memphis from PSV as we speak. So I'm going to go Palace 1, United 2.
I'm going to go Palace 1, United 3.
Right.
United have got to regain their mojo to secure a place in the top four. And if they don't, they are doomed. And I don't think that Louis van Gaal, which is the way it's pronounced in Holland.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
Louis van Gaal.
No.
I don't think I don't think he can afford
City
to lose.
City QPR, Yaya Toure is going to leave.
Yep.
QPR are doomed. City will beat them 3-1.
Oh, I think it could be four more. I think
four. Here's a great game. Chelsea-Liverpool, by the way.
Yeah, of course it is. Brilliant.
What a great game. Jose, looking forward to talking to him. I'm going to talk to him soon. Jose against Liverpool. Yeah. I think it's very easy to say Chelsea will win.
Yeah.
2-1. No. I don't think it's going to be easy.
No. Chelsea 5, Liverpool 0. Al, Chelsea are on a roll now. They've won it. They're playing with freedom.
Forget
no
your support,
fear.
Everton.
No
please.
Fear. No fear. They're saying to themselves, we have got our medals. Now we're going to go to town.
One last one.
Go on.
Arsenal, Swansea.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm at the Emirates Monday night.
Excellent. Well
looking
done.
Looking for the old Diamond Club.
Oh, really?
Arsenal, Swansea. Good game of football.
Are you going to watch any football, by the way, in this Diamond Club?
A wee bit.
What's that?
2-0. Arsenal 2, Swansea 0.
Is that what we're going to hear all night?
Well,
good job you're not doing the commentary.
By the way, have you been there?
It's beautiful. Yeah, I have.
You've not been in the Diamond Club?
I've been into the Dolce & Gabbana Club at Chelsea, which is the top one.
Get lost.
The top one.
Get lost.
The top one.
You're having a laugh.
It's funded by Dolce & Gabbana. They're the people who make my clothes. I should know.
Right. You're off. Weekend. Behave yourself. Stop smoking. And maybe we'll do one again next week.
You denigrate my character terribly.
Don't forget, join us. Please get in touch. with us by emailing Brazil at audioboom.com. Remember them predictions, and we'll slaughter Porky next week.
Bit harsh.
Brought to you by Audioboom.